If I could put a title on my sermon for today, it would be, Put On Your Shine. And that song that Travis sang just now just sums it all up. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Amen. And if you feel the presence of the Lord, let your face know about it. Amen. Let it shine from the very depths of your soul. My scripture today comes from Exodus chapter 34, beginning with verse 29. Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and as he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenants in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone, because he had been talking with God. And when Aaron and all of Israel saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation, and they returned to him. And Moses spoke with them. And afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them the commandments, all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out, he told the Israelites what he had been commanded. And the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In the time of Moses, God's interaction with Israel was mediated through a single spokesperson who had absolute authority over them. And Moses at this time was that person. Whatever Moses told the people, that was law and gospel. He had received the Ten Commandments in stone. I guess that's where that term, it's cut in stone, comes from. Because what Moses was saying was what the people were living by. It was the word of God that had come to Moses, and he was passing it on to the people. Now, Moses had just spent 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai with God. He neither ate bread nor drank water during this time. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the new covenant, or the Ten Commandments. Our young people have been studying about the Ten Commandments in Sunday school on Sunday morning. And that's what I'm preaching about today, about Moses receiving these commandments from God. This brings us to our text for today. Today we see Moses coming down from the mountain, and he didn't know that his face was shining. Moses didn't have the mirror like we have in all of our bathrooms today. He could go in there and say, oh, my nose is shiny, and put powder on his nose. It wasn't that kind of a shine. The kind of shine that Moses had didn't only come from his face, but it was coming from his heart, because he had been in the presence of Almighty God. So we see that when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, they were afraid to come near him. If Moses should appear today with his face all shiny, the first reaction would be, is he radioactive? Am I going to get some kind of something here? Or has he got a virus? Do we need to call the center for disease control and see what's wrong with this man? People don't think about their appearance. Well, Moses wanted to have something. He had to tell these people. And he wasn't trying to look holy or be pious. But he didn't want them to be distracted by his face. He wanted them to hear the word of God, see what God had to offer, and obey God's law. So he put a veil on his face. Every time he'd go in to talk to the Lord, he would remove that veil. But every time he'd come out, his face would be all shiny right on. So he'd have to put the veil back on to protect the people so that they wouldn't be blinded by the radiance. You know, the scripture says that Moses had been up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, that he was fasting before the Lord. You know, it's really odd that Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted and fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And when we fast one meal a day, or one meal a week, or one meal a year, we think, boy, we've done something. We've set a world record. We've not said anything. Because when we talk about, oh, I fasted supper last night, you're saying, look at me, I fasted. You're not saying, look at God, the author and the finisher of our salvation. And that's a message that we should be bringing forth, is to look at God. Now let's examine Moses' shiny face for a minute. When he came down from the mountain with the new tablets, he didn't realize that his face was shiny. So it wasn't sunburn. He hadn't been out in the sun too long. It wasn't burned from heat, or he would have felt it. His face was radiant white because he had spoken with God. He had been in the presence of Almighty God. If I came before you and my face was all shiny and radiant, you'd probably say, have you got a fever? You sure you all right? You don't have anything catching, do you? We do need to have something catching. We need to catch this fire, this flame of the Holy Spirit that Moses had because he had been on the mountain with God. He wanted the people to focus on God, not on his shiny face, was the reason for the veil. Today is Transfiguration Day, and we find Jesus going up on another mountain for this glorifying experience. And he takes three disciples with him. He takes Peter, James, and John. And what do you think of when you think about transfiguration? Do you think about a mountaintop experience? Do you think about, oh, what a great revival meeting. Oh, what a great thing. Oh, what a great anything that you experience and you feel the presence of God. Oh, that's wonderful. That's awesome. And I can only imagine how Peter, James, and John felt after they saw Jesus just totally transformed right before their very eyes. Some Christians spend their entire life wanting to have a mountaintop experience, wishing and praying for that dramatic change. And then they wonder why they're disappointed when nothing happens. The account of Moses' encounter with God in Exodus was so important that even the Apostle Paul mentioned it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12. This is not important because it happened to a man. The account of the transfiguration in Luke is not important because Peter, James, and John saw it. What is important is that God was revealed through the whole thing. All of this being said, did you know that everyone, every single person that has accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior has experienced not only a transformation, but a transfiguration? Let's discuss this on a personal level for a few minutes and put it where we can relate to it. When you were a child, did your parents ever ask you, what did you do? You look guilty. What have you done now? Sure, we know that Moses' face was radiant after he saw God. But let me ask you today, those who have met the Master, what's on your face? When people look at you, they look at your face, do they see somebody that's stressed out to the max? Do they see somebody that is worried to death because they can't meet their financial obligations, or their son or their daughter's dating somebody they don't approve of, or everything's not going just like they thought it ought to go? And we are an open book. People can look at our face and they know exactly that we're unhappy. That's what you call nonverbal communication. You could say a multitude without opening your mouth just by the look on your face. Somebody might ask us, are you sure you're okay? You're mighty pale. You look like you've seen a ghost. A mother might look at her teenage daughter and say, okay, I'd know that look anywhere. What's his name? The love bug had bit. What's his name? You know, I think one of the main things that is being stressed through the scripture in Exodus and in Paul's writings is that our face should tell the world that we have been with Jesus. It should tell the world that I'm just going to pout because I can't have my way. I know somebody that used to be the world's worst person about pouting. I'm not going to call any names. However, it wasn't just at home. If it wasn't just like it ought to be, somebody I know would pout. And one of his supervisors one day told him, says, Daniel Alford, you need to get over yourself. Well, everybody in the church was looking at you. Because it's not just about you. Sometimes you have to go more than that 50%. It's not a half and half situation. It's not a half and half situation in a marriage. You have to go over that 50%. You have to give 100% into any relationship. And that includes a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to give it 100%. Well, I just don't have time between my family and my job. I just don't have time. And we had this family get together and I hadn't been there in 10 years and I just needed to be there. Our primary obligation today is not to the pastor. It's not to Bethel United Methodist Church. Our primary obligation is to Jesus Christ. and the ministry that he has called every one of us into. Moses was not trying to be pious. He wasn't trying to be holy. The genuine shine was there because he had been in the presence of God. How many times have you heard people talk about sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so? They're just a radiant Christian. You can just see the shine all over their faces. You know that they are Christians by the way they look. Yeah, okay. You can buy that if you want to. Normally that's true. When we have a one-to-one experience with Jesus Christ, we have allowed him to come into our heart and life, there will be a change. We will have that glow. It won't be to the point probably that you would have to put a veil over my face or a veil over your face. But just because you dress a certain way, or you fix your hair a certain way, or you sing a certain way, does not make you on a one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. It's in the heart. There's a scripture, and I cannot remember where it is. It says something to the effect of, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We are known by our communication and by the way that we conduct ourselves. When people look at us, do they see Christ? I've seen people that I thought, well, if they get any more godly, they're going to have to get a veil. But we are human beings. We are all subject to make mistakes. We are all subject to sin. And there's no veil that can hide that from God. God sees it all. But my concern today is, what do people see in us? Do they see God? Do they know that the light of the Holy Spirit is shining through our life? The light of Jesus is a light that cannot be hidden behind a veil. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We read it earlier in the responsive call to worship. And we, who with unveiled faces reflect the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The Bible translation that we call the Message says it this way. And so we are transformed much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. It's vital. It's so very important that we experience our own personal shine so that we can do the work that God has called us to do and to do it more effectively. If we don't do it effectively, the world around us won't see it. It will be like lighting the candle and put it under a bushel. You don't do that. You leave it out so that it'll shine to the whole house. As we prepare our hearts today for communion, let's think about our shine. We want Jesus to shine. Jesus, shine. We want the world to see Jesus in us. Don't let the world defeat you. The devil is going about as a roaring lion, trying to put a veil over our witness, over our faith. But Jesus Christ is the answer He will give us that shine that people around us will know that we have been in the presence of our loving Savior.